KSJD Streaming is sponsored by Osprey PAX, a Montezuma County company since 1990. Osprey PAX, pack your passion, go.
Good morning, KSJD. You are tuned into another edition of The River Trip. My name is Sam Carter, and I am a member of Dolores Riverboating Advocates. And this show is brought to you by those same people, Dolores Riverboating Advocates. Thanks for joining us. Today is Thursday, February 12th. We have a great show today. We're going to talk to the chief hydrologist from Glen Canyon Dam and Lake Powell down in Arizona. And we'll get to that in just a second. We're going to start a new thing today with The River Trip. I'm going to give you a little bit of information about river situations elsewhere in the world. First off, I have a piece of an email from a friend of mine who has been spending the winter down in Patagonia on the Futaleufú River, and this is what he told me via email. The weather remained dry and windy, the driest spell in such a long time that even the old couldn't remember such a period of drought. The Futa kept running because of its dam. All the others were so low, meaning all the other rivers. The Futaleufú River is located in northern Patagonia, and it's one of the premier whitewater destinations in the world. It's a river fed by glacial and snow melt, and it runs from the Andes Lake region through Chile and Argentina and meets up with some other lakes. Another piece of interest, but not as fun, in Durango in the Animas River over the weekend, the body of a 42-year-old woman was discovered by a fisherman early Saturday afternoon near the fairgrounds. Circumstances are unclear in regards to this death. You can read more about this in the Durango Herald. And here in our own little niche, the Dolores River in Dolores is not registering on the USGS gauge. It still is registering as ice. But a visual check of the river will show you that the ice is melting off very quickly. The main channel that has been open all winter is now wider, almost river-wide. The flows are increasing daily. Bald eagles and geese are all returning for the season already. And yesterday there were kids in the park on the swings and riding bikes. So, as the weather warms, we're here to talk today with Katrina Grant. She, again, is the chief hydrologist of Glen Canyon Dam and Lake Powell down in Arizona. She works for the Bureau of Reclamation. I'm going to let her tell you a lot more about what she does. Katrina, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Sam.
Would you please tell us what your job is, what you do, how you spend your days?
Sure, yeah. So I'm a hydraulic engineer with the Bureau of Reclamation, and my main job is to figure out how much water to release from Glen Canyon Dam, Lake Powell, and also when to release that water.
And would you tell us about Lake Powell, how big it is, where it is, how old it is, and more importantly than any of that, in my eyes, is where does that water go?
Yeah, absolutely. So Lake Powell, as you mentioned, is down in Arizona. It's the lake behind Glen Canyon Dam. It was built in the mid-60s. It's closed in 1964, and it can hold about 24 million acre-feet of water. So to put that in context of your local listeners, that's about 100 times the size of McPhee. So that's quite a bit of water. Currently, Lake Powell is a little under half full, so it's 46% full. That water, when we release water from Glen Canyon Dam, it flows down through the Grand Canyon to Lake Mead, which is the reservoir behind Hoover Dam. And then it flows to Las Vegas, Phoenix, Los Angeles, as well as lots of farmers in California, Arizona, and Mexico as well, down through the Delta in Mexico.
So the only water leaving Lake Powell leaves, again, through the Colorado River Canal, or not canal, but the river, the actual river through the Grand Canyon. Is that right? There's no other outlets of water?
That's correct for the most part. There are a few small local diversions for the city of Page and also for the power plant there, the Navajo Generating Station.
Okay, and you said the lake currently is at 46% full. How high did it get last year? What percentage did it hit last year?
Just over half full also, so we've been hovering around half full for the past couple years.
What do you expect this year?
To end about half full. So it takes a lot for Lake Powell to change dramatically in terms of elevation based upon inflows and outflows. But it is not really a good thing that we've been hovering around half full. We'd like to see it obviously somewhat higher, but we're lucky that we've had as much as we have to our inflows have been enough to at least keep it from getting really low.
So, Katrina, talking about this 46% full, hovering around those levels, it doesn't change much. What is the impact on the Dolores River in terms of how our water travels downstream to the Colorado?
Sure. So right now, and this is how it's been in the past as well, upper basin reservoirs or those reservoirs above Lake Powell typically are not impacted by the levels at Lake Powell. They work independently based upon whatever is happening in that local basin. If Lake Powell were to get close to a low level, like at the minimum power pool, the elevation that it would take to generate hydropower at the dam, things could change. Also, if we have not been able to release enough water to meet our delivery obligations to the lower basin, also things could change, and things for upstream at upstream reservoirs could change.
Talk more, if you will, about the issue of power production. I've read about this, seen some videos on this, that there are lots of concerns around if the levels in Powell and Meade both continue to drop, that the lakes might not be able to pump or drain enough water into the power system, into the turbines. Talk about that. What does that mean? Is that real?
Sure. Yeah. So it's a small possibility, but a very real one. We're right now at an elevation of we're a little over 100 feet above the minimum power pool, but a fluctuation in the forecast could bring us down over a couple series of years. Right now, it looks like that's the first chance of that occurring. Looks like it would be about 3 years out if we had a really bad drought persist year after year. But 3 years out can come pretty quickly, so it's definitely something that we need to plan for. Following up a little bit on what does that mean if we were to get down there to minimum power pool, that would mean that the generators at Glen Canyon Dam wouldn't be enough water above them to generate hydropower. That would mean that we would have to release water just through the bypass tubes, which are down below. But without generating power at Glen Canyon Dam, that would be a huge loss to the electric stability across the western United States. Local entities' rates would likely go up considerably, rates for power. In addition, a lot of the funding for a lot of the programs in the West for Bureau of Reclamation, for recovery, endangered species recovery programs, a lot of that funding comes from power that is generated at Glen Canyon Dam. So Glen Canyon Dam power generation is really key to funding for reclamation throughout the entire Upper Basin. Recovery programs, as well as actually even infrastructure for diversions and maintenance at other dams throughout the Upper Basin.
All right.
It's a key component.
So we're going to take a break here. If you're just tuning in, this is KSJD. You're listening to The River Trip. My name is Sam Carter, and we're speaking with Katrina Grants from the Bureau of Reclamation working at Lake Powell and Glen Canyon Dam. We will be back shortly. Stick with us. Welcome back, folks. This is The River Trip here on KSJD. Today is Thursday, February 12th. Good morning. My name is Sam Carter. I'm hosting today, and my guest is Katrina Grants from the Bureau of Reclamation. She runs the dam at Glen Canyon Dam above Lake Powell. Katrina, thanks for being here again.
Hi.
Hi. So let's carry on with talking about water in the West, kind of open this conversation up a little bit. Talk about the western U.S., please. What's going on with moisture levels around the West? We here in southwest Colorado know There's not much snow. People are wearing shorts. It's really warm. What else is going on in the West?
Yeah, absolutely. We're experiencing that here in Salt Lake City as well. The West, I think it's no news to anyone who lives out here that we're currently in a drought. Throughout the drought, the West, many of the basins are seeing below average to significantly below average values in terms of water supply, be it snowpack or precipitation. And in the Colorado River Basin, that's exactly the case we're seeing as well this year.
So I think drought is obviously a term to use here. Sometimes I feel like I get frustrated. I think other folks might get frustrated around what that drought category means. Sometimes people want to call it climate change and give it a different tag, a different blame. Where does the Bureau of Reclamation, which is a federal project, a federal organization, where do y'all stand on climate change? What are you doing with that stance?
Yeah, sure. Climate change is obviously a very important issue for Reclamation. We it's in our mission, it's in our directives from all the way up through Reclamation's commissioner, the Secretary of Interior, to look at climate change, address it, consider it, and figure out ways to implement strategies for dealing with climate change into all of our actions. So we're really learning to through reservoir management, through adaptation strategies, through recovery actions, through planning, as well as getting our financial systems able to deal with hosting new programs that are there to deal with the impacts of climate change.
So the, using the term climate change is not, it doesn't sound like it's a no-no within the Bureau. It sounds like it's an open conversation. Am I right to think that?
Absolutely, yes.
Is that a mandated position or is that just a general open conversation?
Our commissioner has directed us to address climate change. So yes, absolutely. We are, everyone is expected to implement, consider and deal with strategies to implement strategies to deal with climate change.
Strategies.
So I would say mandated, yes.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the strategies y'all are thinking about?
Yeah, so at the base level is first understanding what it could mean. Many studies are showing that it will be decreased water supply, specifically in the Colorado River Basin. But in addition, it's also showing a wider range of possible flows. So while we need to be prepared for decreased inflows to our reservoirs, we also need to be able to deal with earlier spring runoff or intermittent flooding. So the strategies that we're considering, some of them deal with reservoir operations directly at our at Reclamation reservoirs, but a lot of it is also involving local entities, state entities to develop local programs, conservation, water transfers. It's really a mixture of multiple different strategies from all different levels throughout society, government, and local entities to deal with this. It's not something that Reclamation can do alone, really.
And let's add population into that. The Western population is not decreasing. It's increasing every year, it seems. Beyond seems, you can look at studies and see that the population is rising. What else is the Bureau doing to address that? Because the seems that the majority of the water is being used for human consumption in some manner. What are y'all doing about population increase?
Right, absolutely. So Reclamation cannot tell people not to move out into the West. That's not part of our authority. Really what Reclamation does is we work with local entities and states and provide assistance, both financial and technical assistance, to implement local conservation programs. And so some of those programs actually in some places across the West, despite the fact the population has been increasing, their water demand and their consumption has not increased. And that's largely due in some of these locations to water conservation. So Reclamation's role is really to support the local entities as best we can through our financial and technical assistance.
So, Dolores River Boating Advocates, with the host of this show, we are certainly focused on river health and riparian health, but we also are focused on recreation and whitewater boating recreation at that. How do you see recreation fitting into this picture of decreased flows in the West? Where does the Bureau stand around recreation on the rivers and not on the lakes?
Yeah, so recreation in the West has been and I think will continue to be really important to people who are living here now, people who visit, and reclamation to the extent that we can support recreation in whatever way we can. And I think looking into the future, part of that for in-stream flows, part of an assurance to whitewater boaters is that reclamation has in many locations mandates to maintain in-stream flows and to meet environmental needs for water. And so because of those environmental needs, typically that goes along with increased value for whitewater boating. So I don't see it, I see those two working together to, within the available supply, maintain valuable flows in the river.
So when does the Bureau of Reclamation decide that environmental needs mandate or call for more releases? And I ask that because the river here, the Dolores, doesn't get a lot of flow below the dam. We're looking at probably our third year without a flow coming out of the dam into what we call the lower Dolores, the best place for whitewater boating here and the Four Corners. Where is that line that the Bureau says there needs to be a release for environmental concerns?
Right, yeah. So we don't actually, Reclamation doesn't, we aren't as in charge of determining when there's a required release for environmental purposes. That usually comes through the Endangered Species Act or NEPA. So in most cases where we're maintaining target releases, it's because there is an endangered species in that stretch of the river. So
territory.
Were endangered species on the Dolores, it would be more likely there may be some changes to how the flows in that river looked.
Okay. Real quick, would you talk just quickly about the recreation flows you have been in charge of in the Grand Canyon this past year?
Sure. Yeah. So the recreation flows in the Grand Canyon, there's fluctuations throughout the day from Glen Canyon Dam for hydropower purposes, and that erodes the beaches in the Grand Canyon. Reclamation has recently implemented a 10-year protocol for high-flow experiments. And what these experiments do is we release a large volume of water all at once in a pulse to simulate a flood that will bring the sediment from the canyon in the Grand Canyon up and rebuild the beaches. And those are timed specifically with sediment inputs, and there's a lot of science that goes behind that. But essentially, enhancing the ecosystem in the Grand Canyon, it's also enhancing beaches for rafters to camp on at night.
Sounds good. They're nice beaches down there. Katrina, we got to wrap the show up there. Folks, we've been talking with Katrina Grant. She is the chief hydrologist for Glen Canyon Dam and Lake Powell. Katrina, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Sam.
Yeah, you bet. And this is the River Trip here on KSJD. The River Trip is brought to you by the Dolores River Boating Advocates. My name is Sam Carter. I'm your host. You can contact me at don't put the at in front, sam@dolorisriverboating.org, sam@dolorisriverboating.org. Thanks so much to KSJD and Tom Yoder for producing our show. We'll see you next month.